This is the celebration of the 11th costume design exhibition at FITM, and I'm here with Nick Varios.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's exciting as always. You're a fashion designer, Star Project Runway, a graduate of Fashion Institute Design and Merchandising, and you're going to walk us through the show.
Yes, of course. I'll be your special guide.
Couldn't be better. And we're here in front of the Handmaid's Tale.
Yes, let's
start telling the tale.
Of the Handmaid's Tale. Well, first of all, it's nominated, and the costume designer is nominated, and Crabtree. This is one of the highlights in our exhibition. We have over 100 costumes from 25 different shows. And, of course, how can you miss the Handmaid's Tale? It's all about color and fluidity. The costume designer said that she wanted to really sort of divert all the colors to the special, all the different groups. You know, in the original book, the novel, 1985 novel by Margaret Atwood, and there were divisions. So the color black was for the commanders. The red, and it was a special deep red, was for the handmaids. And the teal blue was for the commanders' wives, and who took care, you know, they're unfertile. And so the red really means lifeblood. A little costume tidbit that I can give you is, Anne Crabtree, the costume designer, said that she was inspired by a priest's robe she saw at the Duomo in Milano. And she noticed and she sketched him out. And she just was fascinated at how he walked through the Duomo, kicking his foot, and the robe would just kind of flow. She wanted to mimic that for the series. So you notice those visions when they show the handmaids walking and the flow, because she thought they looked like bells. Like bells walking around. But the strong red is, you know, it really signifies the lifeblood. Now, another thing is, of course, the famous, the head wings. Now, Margaret Atwood, originally in the novel, talked about those head wings being kind of like a way to prevent the handmaids from talking, communicating to each other. And it sort of became, the costume designer called it a poetic baseball cap.
And it's up for an award.
Of course, and it's nominated for Outstanding Costumes for period and fantasy. Now, this, the crown, about Queen Elizabeth, well, Princess Elizabeth in the beginning, in her early life, you know, pre-coronation and then the wedding, and her relationship with then the Prince of Greece, Prince Philip, and then, of course, Princess Margaret, and just all that revolves around this. And here we have a gorgeous tableau of the costumes, and these were designed by Michelle Clapton, who also designs for Game of Thrones. The costumes are outstanding. If there's one reason you should come to the exhibition, is just to see these costumes. They're beautiful. We have the wedding gown, and she had to reproduce it because there's so many photos, so much video of this. There were three specific outfits that she couldn't really artistically play with, and the wedding was one of them, the coronation was the other, and the tour of Ireland was the third. Now, for this wedding gown, originally it was designed by Norman Hartnell. Yes, and she had to use, Princess Elizabeth had to use clothing ration coupons, because this was right around World War II, and you had to, you know, you couldn't be extravagant, and everybody was using coupons, clothing coupons, so she had to use clothing coupons to pay for it. Now, let me tell you, the train itself for this costume, it took 6 to 7 weeks, and 6 people worked on it. And then just the bodice, the sequins, the embroidery on the top, took 3 weeks to make. The original gown, the Norman Hartnell gown, had 10,000 pearls from the United States as part of the original gown. We also have some dresses from Princess Margaret, of course, who's the fashionista. And so, of course, she looked beautiful. She used a lot of prints. We have a beautiful ball gown that was also worn by Princess Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, at the time. She was going to a premiere with a nice mink stole and a beautiful gown. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of people don't realize when Princess Elizabeth started, she wore a lot of solid neutral colors, and she wore very bland suits because she wanted them to be like armor, and it was her version of men's suits. Why? Because she was dealing with a bunch of men, and so she thought she had to play in on their, you know, wardrobe level. But then, as she grew more confident, the color came out, and the prince came out, and as you see now, she's embraced it full tilt.
And here we are, Bette and Joan.
Bette and Joan feud. Now, the costume designer and the costumes are nominated for Outstanding Fantasy Period Costumes. Lou Eirich, Emmy Award winner. For other costume designs. Now, this, of course, tells the feud, the ongoing feud between the famous Joan Crawford and Bette Davis, played Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange. Now, we have the costumes here for both Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, as well as Hedda Hopper. And a lot of the costumes were built custom made, as well as a lot of them were rented and vintage. Now, for particularly Bette and Joan, she looked at a lot of Edith Head dresses and a lot of Edith Head styles, because Edith Head, the costume designer, she made a lot of their designs. Now, one in particular that we have here is the famous Oscar gown worn by Joan Crawford when Bette Davis was nominated, but Joan Crawford was not. But Bette Davis was presenting an award. So it was kind of like she had to go there and show out. And she did. So she wore this gorgeous Edith Head gown. Now, they obviously couldn't recreate it exactly. What she did, the costume designer, she found white fabric, but the gown is actually silver. So what she did is she dip dyed it and turned it into a silver color. She also added a silver lining so it would really push the silver through. And then she had her tailors sew a lot of custom beads and crystals embroidery onto the dress, particularly on the top section from the waist up, because that's what you would see on the TV show. And by the way, the actress who played Joan Crawford, Jessica Lange, the gown was so heavy that it really pained her back. So the costume designer created a corset, built a corset underneath so the gown would kind of stand up and so she wouldn't be weighted so much by it. Now, what's really great, she said, the costume designer said her favorite character to dress on the show was Hedda Hopper because of those hats. A lot of them came from a wonderful, wonderful vintage boutique here in Los Angeles, The Way We Wore. Doris Raymond is the queen of vintage. And so she helped her out in providing a lot of the vintage hats that Hedda Hopper, the character that played Hedda Hopper, wore. Another fun tidbit is there was a lot of fur. Now, darling, aren't we in L.A.? Hot. It was hot, right? But in the 50s, it was the style. Even though, you know, it was just as hot in the 50s in Los Angeles as it is today. It was still 70 degrees, 80 degrees, but the ladies wore those fur stoles because it was a symbol of affluence, of style. So that's why they wore. And if you see the show, Feud, Bette and Joan, it was fur crazy.
We have three nominees for variety shows.
This is a really fun part of the exhibition. And we have three nominees for Outstanding Variety Reality Show Nonfiction Programs. And we have Hairspray Live, which was designed by Mary Vode. Now, this is the first time this designer even worked on a live production.
Oh.
And she looked at a lot of research, of course, the show, the Broadway show, the movie. Harvey Weinstein really helped her with the costumes, because of course he is just like the Bible when it comes to Hairspray. So he helped her with a lot of it. But also Derek Huff, who dances for Dancing with the Stars, helped her a lot. He tested out a lot of the suits and the pants, and literally she gave him an ultimatum. She said, try and rip them. Because you have to know, this is live. And even Mary, the costume designer, didn't really think it was going to be live, but this is actually live, so you have to make sure that the clothes would stand. Everything was triple sewn. So all the costumes you see right here in front of us, they are triple sewn. The pants, here's a little costume dish, they have a gusset. And what is that? It's like a little panel, and it's hidden below the crotch. Why? So they can stretch and kick, honey. And all the men's suits have stretch in it as well. And a little inside dish also, a lot of the zippers for the women's dresses, they were wetsuit zippers. Because once again, it's live, honey, and we can't do it twice, so nothing can rip. So instead of those very delicate invisible zippers, no, we've got to put some industrial wetsuit zippers. You've got to make them stay on the characters. And also, a lot of the shooting was going to happen outdoors. They weren't sure if it was going to rain. And so what they did is they had to scotch guard a lot of the garments. All these little things you don't think about, that a costume designer has to think about, especially especially when it's live. So then, now let's move on. Dancing with the Stars, nominated, and a gorgeous, gorgeous costume. You know, they make so many costumes per episode. You have to think about this. There's 10 dancers. There's 10 performances, 10 dances per episode. That's 100 people. So they've got to make costumes for 100 to 120 people per episode. Literally, darling, I think they are the reason that Swarovski is still in business. Because every season, every week when the show is happening, they order new Swarovski crystals for the episode. Now, an interesting fact, we have a costume that is worn by one of the men. The dancer is actually the Bachelor. He was the star who wore it. And the costume has little playing cards, and it was supposed to be Ace of Spades, but they realized they wanted him to be the king. So quickly, right before the scene started, they switched all the A's into K's. So you'll see it. It's a little thing that you'll see, but you have to come to the exhibition to see that. Now, last but not least, RuPaul's Drag Race. And the costumes were nominated for Outstanding Variety Reality Show. Now, the costumes are designed by Zaldi Goko, who originally, he was the creative director of Lamb, Gwen Stefani Lamb. Now, this is a little bit of dirt that I can tell you about RuPaul's costumes. RuPaul doesn't see them until the day of taping. Because Zaldi, Zaldi is based out of New York. And what he does, makes them, creates them, sends them. So every day, the day of the show, RuPaul gets this huge box, and RuPaul says it's like Christmas when he gets these gorgeous, gorgeous gowns, and they just fit. Now, also because of the fact that there's no fitting, one of the gowns, for example, the shoulders, they're not sewn in. It's just safety pin. Just in case they need to adjust them, you know? So there's little things. It looks finished, but not really, you know? And because now we're living in the age of Kim Kardashian, RuPaul and Zaldi both collaborate to make RuPaul's hips a little bigger. A changing of the body silhouette for RuPaul.
Now, I was very intrigued with Big Little Lies.
Yes, yes, me too.
What an interesting concept. With all of these big movie stars
right
on the little screen.
Right, right. Isn't it? It's. I love it. I love the show. You know, it's a whodunit. You know, it involves these wonderful characters, and it's in posh Monterey. You know, the costume designer really wanted to create, especially for the actors, you've got Reese Witherspoon, you've got Nicole Kidman, the leads, of course, you know, and Laura Dern, mainly. And so you've got, what she did is that she wanted to make sure that each of them had their own style and their own sense of style. So when you see Reese Witherspoon, her look is more Carolina Herrera meets J. Crew with a little bit of Tory Burch, while as Nicole Kidman is more Max Mara, a little more Grace Kelly, elegant, you know. And then Laura Dern, she's the fashion girl. She's label, label, label. She wears Azzedine Alaia, you know, she wears Gucci, she wears Chanel, you know. It's like a power uniform, but it's about fashion with her. Now, an interesting tidbit is the director gave the costume designer, before even starting costuming the show, a playlist of each of the women, of the characters, so she could get a sense of who these women were, just by what they would be listening to. And that really helped the costume designer get a feel for, you know, for what they would wear and how they would look like. So, and, you know, this costume designer, who's also an Affidam alumna, she wanted to give little hints of the character's emotional journey through the clothing. So you see that. There are little hints, little subtleties. You know, the turtlenecks that Nicole Kidman wear. I don't want to give too much away why she wears the turtleneck, but there are reasons why she wears the turtlenecks. And so there are little hints that you see that in the costuming, the wardrobe. You know, I always, you know, there's the job of the costume designer is to give a second skin to these actors so they can feel comfortable in portraying these characters and taking these characters on, you know. And I always say, if you really don't notice the costumes, then the costume designer has done their job. You know, the job of a costume design and costume designers, especially when it comes to contemporary, is for you to subliminally notice little things, but then they disappear. The wardrobe kind of disappears, and that's because it becomes natural. And I think that that's really a great way of describing particularly contemporary costume design.
And now we're in front of Grace and Frankie. that Alison Fander did.
Yes, yes.
And how wonderful to be working with two icons.
Right.
Jane Fonda and
Lily Tomlin.
On television.
Right, right. I know, two big stars on TV. Wonderful, wonderful. Alison Fanger did the costuming for the show. Grace and Frankie nominated for Outstanding Contemporary Costumes. Now, I found out that the costumes and the costume designer, it's a big hit for the millennials, of all people, that show. The teenagers, honey, and the millennials love the show, and they're obsessed with the wardrobe, particularly Frankie's wardrobe. Now, if you know, this is another example where each character has to be divided into, they have their own style. So when you see Joan Fonda's character, Grace, she's always in neutrals, and she doesn't take risks, really. So she wears St. John, she wears neutrals, elegant, subdued, while Frankie, she is boho, she's hippy-dippy. You know, in fact, some of the research that the costume designer did, she looked into this style called Lagenlook. Lagenlook is a German word for layering, putting asymmetrical layers on, and it's a look of that, I kind of like a European art lady. A lot of layers, wearing a lot of layers over, and so that basically is her inspiration for Frankie. But you see a lot of like where Frankie has been and gone, especially when the vintage t-shirts she wears. You can tell that she has a history of maybe, you know, being in riots or doing something subversive. And that's how the costume designer subliminally is telling you a little bit about Frankie's past in the costumes, in the wardrobe.
You know, Nick, you have just explained how important costume design is, that it's such a major part of a film, television show.
Yes.
We've only hit on a few highlights. There are so many more.
So many more.
And I know everybody's going to rush and see the show. How many different television shows around?
We've got 25 shows featured here, 9 of which are nominated for Outstanding Costumes, over 100 costumes here. And so please come out to see this amazing exhibition. It's the admission is free, and come out here. It really pays tribute to costume designers and this golden age of television.
Thank you so much, Nick. Wonderful. It's
always big kiss. Thank you very much.